Our reading this morning is from 2 Timothy, starting at chapter 3, verse 14.
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We pray God will help us with their understanding of that passage.
When I started thinking about Timothy, I realised I didn't know much about him. So I started looking up his background and I actually didn't find a huge amount. But looking at his family, I found that his grandmother, called Lois, was a woman of faith, and that her name meant holy. And so she was someone for whom he would have had a lot of involvement in the way that a child is brought up in the Middle East. And then his mother was Eunice, again, a name we don't hear very often nowadays, but no doubt, like Stanley, it'll come back into fashion. And she too was called a woman of faith. So these two women, mother and daughter, were women of faith. But her name means good victory. And so we see that Timothy came from this very sound spiritual background. Now, about 3 or 4 years ago, I discovered something about my great-great-grandmother. I was given a newspaper clipping from what was the Cuban Times, and it was dated 1937, so a long time ago. And there was my grandmother on the front, great-great-grandmother on the front, being awarded a medal by the Lord Mayor of Paddington in London for her longevity, because she had reached 105 years, that's a great age back then in 1937. And he asked her how she had reached this age. And she said, it's because I read my Bible every day. And she went to the church around the corner, St. Jude's. And she said, because I still dig my garden. Apparently she was a really keen gardener, growing all her own vegetables. And so that was a reply to the Lord Mayor. But then she said, now I'm losing my sight. My daughter reads my Bible to me every day. And I thought, you know, I never knew that I was part of this family. And that really struck me, because her name was called Charity Ann. And I then realised who I must have been called after. So it was really quite an emotional time for me, really. But then from that, I discovered that one of her granddaughters, one of my great aunts, was also a committed Christian. And this is how this thread started, because she was doing the family tree and her son passed information on to me. And I hadn't realised that her daughter too is a Christian and lives in Durham. And her husband, I think, teaches theology at the university there. So it just made me aware of how much reading the word means in people's lives. And as my great-great-grandmother had nine children, I guess her babies were steeped in the word too, as they were in her womb. Because scientists have now proven that babies in the womb hear voices, they hear music, they absorb what's going on and what's going on emotionally within the mother. And so I think her children were all bathed in the word as they grew up. And so when we look at Jesus, you know, I was reading about what there were weeks that he was in the desert facing the temptation, not just a week, not just 3 days, as we will perhaps read in the Bible, but it was weeks he was in the desert. And so that brings it home to us exactly how he must have been felt as he was tempted by the devil, who had great delight in misquoting scripture to him. But, you know, Jesus used scripture, quoting it properly to the devil twice. And so the Bible is vital to our own spiritual health. How can we tell if someone is misquoting the Bible at us? And sometimes we just accept a few words that someone says without looking to see the whole passage or the whole verse. And so unless we learn to read our Bibles and to begin to try and take it in, we can be exposed to wrong teaching. And also, if we're not using the Bible or reading it, even as a novel, we don't know where to turn when we're going through tough times. Those verses quite often come back to us when we're in a place where it's very, very hard to be. Or we might just read a passage and that just really will bring us comfort and speak to our hearts. And God gives us promises in the Bible that we can cling to. I remember a friend of mine who was a missionary abroad, working in the jungle, actually, so a tough place to be. And she said in her Bible, the marks of all the hard places she'd been and the promises God had given her at that time. And that kept, she kept going back to them to remind herself of where he was in her life and where he was in the work that she and her husband were attempting to do. So we lose out if we're not involved in reading the Bible, because we lose out the Holy Spirit's enlightenment. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, we read that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. And the Bible I've read it in said the word of God is the sword which gives the Spirit to you. We know that the Bible is powerful, and we know that the Holy Spirit can cut right through our thinking and just give us what I call a light bulb moment when we think, gosh, that's what that verse meant. And I thought it meant something else all these years. And that's so important. It's the work of the Spirit as we read the Bible. Sometimes we don't realize what's happening and going on in our lives. And sometimes reading the Bible and preaching the word doesn't always bring the results that we imagine it will. I have a friend who is married to a Baptist minister, and he was at two churches in two different countries. And he felt in one church that God wanted him to speak about acceptance, which he did, and then he was met by the elders that week and told, if you preach again on that, the congregation will leave. So he had a real week of soul searching and prayer. As he preached the next Sunday, he heard the door slam as some members of the congregation left. He was faithful to what he felt God wanted him to preach on. And from that church, The church grew spiritually, but it also welcomed people of other colour. And so that church is a very mixed church where colour and white mixed together in worship. And then he was in another church in another country, a similar sort of sermon. This was about Jonah. Again, he was taken aside by the elders and told, well, if you carry on preaching like this, we'll curtail your appointment and give you the sack virtually. Again, a time of soul searching. And the next week, he continued to preach on Jonah. And he actually left within 3 months. He had his appointment curtailed. No, it was less than that, actually, sorry. He had his appointment curtailed. But 3 months later, after being back in the UK and having found another church, he received a letter of apology from the elders of that church because they realised how wrong they were. But then after that, that church welcomed the nationals of that country, a group of people that they hadn't wanted because the church he'd gone to was an English-speaking church and they didn't want nationals in there. So that church ended up being, again, a very mixed church. And so the blessing on him following the word and preaching on it and reading it gave a result which was totally different to perhaps what he expected. And so how brave am I? How brave are all of us in how to trust the word and use the word in our lives and in our churches and with our neighbour? We know that Jesus returned from the desert full of the Spirit. And so he started preaching, and he was preaching to huge crowds of people. And he challenged them about their lives, about where they saw God in their lives. And when he challenged them, the crowds melted away. They couldn't deal with making a decision. They didn't want the commitment. And it left the disciples, who didn't understand really what he was saying, but they knew there was something different about him. He'd received this blessing of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus went on to open their eyes to what he was saying, to open their understanding. Do we feel that challenge? The challenge to change? I listened to Radio 4 during the week, Woman's Hour, and it was athlete Jessica Ennis-Hill, who used to run the heptathlon. I have to stop and think about that. And she was explaining that she was several years ago involved in a competition, and it was one that she desperately wanted to win. But on the second day, she had a stress fracture to the right foot, which is the foot that she pushed off from. After months of injury and wondering if she would ever race again, but she tried again, and that right foot just was not strong enough. And so she thought, well, this is it. But her trainer said to her, right, you've got to start pushing off from the left foot. She'd always used her right foot, but she had to start using her left foot if she wanted to achieve gold. And so that's what she did. She learned to use her left foot, and she did achieve a gold medal. She had a choice. She could have stopped using her right foot but not used her left foot, but she wouldn't have achieved her aim, something that she trained for years. Sometimes we are asked to change feet. In many ways, COVID has made us stop and think, how do we change? Do I want to change? Do we need to change? But how easy is that spiritually to do that? What is our goal? The Holy Spirit challenges us sometimes. He reminds us through the word that he's always with us, whatever we're trying to do. We see something this morning in that. Dave and Angela, the first time on a Zoom service, out of their comfort zone, I guess. The same way, it's only my second time, again, out of the comfort zone. It's changing feet, isn't it? And so do we know the word enough to remember those promises that God's given us to us over the years, even yesterday? Because it's through the word he reminds us he's always with us. The word is described as a two-edged sword, which is a very powerful sword and weapon in the right hands. It cuts through everything. I read the Bible for years as a teenager using the Scripture Union notes. It was mainly so that I could win points at Covenanter class, which was the teenage Bible class, so that I might actually get a book at the end of it. And then one day I recognised God's voice speaking to me about being there for me. And I just wonder how much of those words that I read and didn't really think I was absorbing were going in and were actually being the seed that came to life. Having heard about my great-great-grandmother, it's left me wondering about the thread of faith that's gone down my family that I didn't realise was there. Because I believe there is a golden thread of faith. Even if families are very disjointed, that thread can come through a friend, a group of friends, someone that we met years ago who have prayed for us. And so family or friends can be that thread of faith. And so the Holy Spirit is also a thread of gold, I think, because it runs from the Bible right through from Genesis to Revelation. And it's that thread that can throw light into our minds through the word as it opens our hearts and our souls to the light. So where is the word of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives? What is our goal? And with those thoughts, I hope that you're going to be able to see this. This is something that I picked up at Wesley Cottage. And it's called The Holy Spirit. It's a book there. And the paintings are by a Methodist minister from the Darlington area, who actually John Hogarth knows. But look at this picture and see where the flames are, which direction are they painted in? Look at the doves and see where they are pointed. Look at the hands and see what they are doing. And look at the person. Their position in the middle of those hands. It's coming on our knees to God. Coming on our knees to welcome the Spirit, that it may flow through us out to others.